This is Smart Tech, episode 1707. Internet users beware. This may not be the website you think it is. Hello, and welcome to this Black Ops version of Smart Tech. I'm your host, Chuck Minear, and you know what? This is the first episode in our new studio. It's not done. I've got a lot of things to do, and if you find out that the sound is a little strange or you're having a problem with something, if you'd let me know, I would really appreciate it as I work out some of the kinks. But it's really nice. I'm in a second-story room. I have a really nice view out the window. I'm excited about this. It's taken longer than I thought, but that's only because of the sheer laziness and incompetence of your host. It just takes a long time to put this stuff together. But I have the same old computer. I'm using for those of you who are interested, I'm using an iMac i7, and I've got a new rack to put my equipment in, which is nice, and a new Mackie mixer, which I'm using, and then my same old Heil PR40 for the microphone, one of my favorite microphones to use for podcasting. So there you go. Oh, and I also got one of those desks that go, you know, that go up and down, and so I can stand and do the podcast, or I can sit and do the podcast, or I guess I could stand on my head and do the podcast. I don't know. But it's really cool, and I can adjust it as I want. So I'm pretty excited about this, and hopefully it'll inspire some good shows in the future. So this week I wanted to talk to you about a problem that has cropped up on the internet. What amazes me, completely amazes me, is the brilliance, I guess is the word, of hackers and how they think of new ways to take your money, take your passwords, and to, you know, suck you in to the area of the internet that they want you to go to instead of the one that you want to go to. So the latest one is a kind of a sleight of hand. And I got this information from a website called ARS Technica by Dan Gooden. And they were the ones who, you know, showed me this information. And so I'm going to use it as my guide and try to explain it in layman's terms. So basically, if you're using one of three browsers, that would be Google Chrome, Firefox, or Opera. And some of you probably never heard of Opera, but it is a nice little web browser that's free. If you're using one of those three, you may want to listen up even closer than your normal person because you're really affected by it. If you're using Safari or Microsoft Edge or, heaven help you, Internet Explorer, because that really is a piece of trash web browser other than it doesn't fall to this particular hack. But, of course, people were, you know, sending viruses and things through Internet Explorer in the past. But if you're using one of those, you're relatively safe, at least in this area. So here's a weakness that can trick even savvy people into trusting malicious imposter sites. And they'll have you download software, enter password, or credit card data. And the weakness involves the way the browsers display certain characters in the address bar. Now, Google has actually read the article, apparently, and they've or heard the information, and they have released a version 58, which does deal with this situation that I'm going to talk about. So what you want to do is go into About Google Chrome, and a tab will come up, and in that tab, one of the lines is the version. So I'm using version 58.0.3029.81. And all those numbers mean is you want it to be 58 or higher to avoid this problem. Of course, if you mostly type in Russian or Chinese, then you'll want to maybe not update Google Chrome just yet until you listen to what I have to say. So I'm going to make this kind of simplistic, and I'm going to take what they say, and I'm going to hopefully make it easier to understand. If you want more information, just go to our website, www.smarttech.tv. I will have a link to this article, which has a lot more information in it. And the article also tells you how to fix Firefox, which I'll cover in a minute. And I'll also put that on the website. So www.smarttech.tv. Just click on the episode name number and it'll take you to the notes page and you can read all about it. So letters or characters, symbols are on the internet are made up of something called Unicode. And Unicode is a universal code that translates into different characters. So when you push the letter A on your computer, it's not really seeing an A, it's seeing a code behind that A that translates back and forth between computer code and actually the character A. And a subset of Unicode, which Unicode, you know, has Chinese characters in it, it has Cyrillic, it has, different letter sets. That's all in Unicode. There's a subset of Unicode called ASCII, A-S-C-I-I. I'm sure some of you have heard of that. And ASCII characters are the characters that you see in, you know, Western Roman type lettering. So English, for example, being one of them, French being another one. Those are ASCII symbols, and those are a subset of the Unicode. Now, here's the deal. If you register a domain, your web address, and you register it in English, like let's say apple.com, apple.com. So you register apple.com. Now, once you own that, someone else can't go in and grab that name. You own that name. And so if anybody types in apple.com onto their computer screen, it will go to Apple. There's not a lot of ways, and there are some ways, but there's not a lot of easy ways to redirect you to a fake website. Now, the old way of doing, of fooling people into thinking they were at one website instead of the other, was to get domain names that were really close. So you would buy like apple.info or appleinfo.com, or you know, you'd find something that looked really close to apple.com, but it really wasn't. Okay, it wasn't really apple.com. And so when people were directed to that website, it would fool a lot of them because they would look up in the address bar and go, oh yeah, it's an Apple thing. It says Apple up there. But people have become more and more savvy to this, and it's harder to trick people, and it's also harder to buy those addresses. I mean, anything that has the word Apple in it has been pretty much taken up because people are either doing websites about Apple products or they're trying to fool you into, you know, giving them your information. But what happens if you register a domain name in a foreign language? So let me give you an example. And there's different ways around this. If you registered this domain name, www.xn-80ak6aa92e.com. If you registered that name just like that, looks kind of like gibberish. Nobody else owns that, right? Because it's kind of weird. But if you take that and you translate that into Unicode, all of a sudden it sees it and it thinks it's Cyrillic, which is, you know, like Russian Eastern letters. And if you look in your web browser, because if you're using an English web browser, it looks at that weird string of characters. It says, oh, that's a character code. They're not actually putting in letters. That's actually a character code for another language, Cyrillic. And if your browser has the ability to display Cyrillic, you see www.apple.com. www.apple.com come up in your address bar. So there are letters in Cyrillic, the Cyrillic alphabet, that look like the letter A. It's not the letter A because it's Cyrillic. It means something different, but it looks the same. And so the font that Chrome uses when they put up the Cyrillic letters makes it very hard to differentiate between, am I looking at a Cyrillic address or am I looking at an English address? So to a person who only speaks English, they look at that and they go, oh, apple.com. It's not. It's a Cyrillic lookalike. Pretty tricky. If somebody had registered that domain, the one that I just read off that I won't read off again, they could have fooled people into thinking they are on the Apple site, and then they can say, oh, you know what, you need to change your password, or you need to update your credit card information, and any of that information that you put in, it looks like it's secure, it looks like it's Apple, but it's really going to, you know, Russia or Ukraine or someplace like that. So it's very, very tricky, okay, what they're doing. And it's just amazing. And there's a lot more information on that website. I'll put the link on our website. So what do you do about this? That I'm looking and I'm reading letters on the screen, and to me, they look like they're saying something, and the computer is interpreting it as something else, but it fools me into thinking that I'm going somewhere that I'm not. Well, there's a few things you can do. If you're a Chrome user, then you should install version 58 as soon as possible. Now, Firefox users can protect themselves, but it's a little more tricky. They can turn off, basically, the foreign language ability of Firefox. If you're not using some other character set other than ASCII, then you can do this and there's no problem. If you do multiple languages, especially Eastern European languages or Asian languages, then you just need to be a little more careful of where you're clicking around. I will put those directions on the website, but quickly, you're going to go to the address bar in Firefox. You're going to enter about:config, and you're going to agree to the warning, and then you're going to enter the word punycode, P-U-N-Y-C-O-D-E, in the search box, and that brings up a line, and then you're going to look where it says false, and you're going to change that to true, and then from then on, Firefox will display the dumb ASCII characters and not the deceptive encoded ones. Other than that, use Apple Safari, use Microsoft Edge, and you won't have this problem. But the reason that this is important is to realize that you always need to be vigilant, that there's always somebody out there trying to grab your information. The last bit of advice I'll give you is don't click on anything that you're not sure of its veracity. So if somebody sends you an email, let's say that Amazon sends you an email, or it looks like Amazon, and you open it up and it says, "Dear Amazon user, your password may have been breached. Please click here and log in to change your password." And so you click on there. It actually isn't from Amazon, and it takes you to a website that looks like Amazon. It says Amazon at the top because it's using this trick, this Cyrillic trick, to put a different name in the top, and then you put in your credit card information and you change your password, and they know what your password is, and then they can go on and buy all kinds of great stuff and live the good life off of you. So you don't want to click on those things. Now, if you get something like that, the way to get around that is read the email and go, okay, Amazon wants me to go to their website. So open the browser and type in Amazon.com. Type it in yourself. You'll be sure you're going to the right website, and then put in your information. And I can also tell you that if you get something like that from Amazon, when you log in to your account, there will be a message there on your account that says pretty much what the email would have said if the email was true. If you read all through that and you don't see any kind of other warnings, other messages coming from the Amazon site itself, then go into their technical help and report that you've gotten this email and they're trying to scam you, because they will be on top of this. They don't want to lose money any more than you do. Always be vigilant. Make sure you're going to places that you know are safe, and don't click on links that you don't know where they go. Type in addresses yourself, and that'll save you a lot of hassle. And speaking of safe and no hassle, you can get a lot more technology advice and tips and tricks on our website. That's www.smartech.tv. There is a button there that at the top that says Podcast Archive. If you click on there, you can see the names of podcasts that have been published since 2003, and there's all kinds of subjects there and something you might find interesting. If you click on one of those names, you can either play it right off of the website there. There's a play button, or you can download it and listen to it at your own leisure. We also encourage you to subscribe. It's absolutely free, and make sure you don't miss any episode of Smart Tech. Over on the right side of our website is a big button that says iTunes. And if you're an iTunes user or an Apple user, if you click on that and you click on the subscribe button, it will automatically put a subscription into iTunes for you. And when we publish a new episode, it'll be downloaded to your computer or your device automatically. If you're an Android user that doesn't use iTunes, you might want to use Google Play to download our website. And we're also on the Google Play Store. So if you click on Google Play, which is another big button on our website, you can go to the Google Play site and you can download it, put us into one of your playlists for Google Play. And the same thing, you can automatically download it, whatever. If you use a podcatcher other than iTunes on your portable device, the other easy way to do it is to go down where it says RSS on our website. Copy that, click on it, copy that address, and then go to your favorite podcatcher, whatever app you use, tell it you want to add a podcast and you have a manual address, and then just paste it in there. And then that will get you Smart Tech downloaded right to your phone or your device. And last, if you're using, well, it's not last, if you're using Overcast, which is one of the podcatchers that I like to use, I have an Overcast button on the website, so it'll do all that work for you. And the last way, this really is the last way, is to go to one of our partner networks. We are a part of a few podcast networks that have picked up the show, and you can go directly there and subscribe or listen. You can hear us on Stitcher Radio. There's a button on the website that takes you there. You can listen to us on the techpodcast.com network. You just go to techpodcast.com and you can subscribe there to our show. And we're also part of TuneIn Radio Network. So if you go to TuneIn and you can subscribe or put us onto a list there, make it one of your favorites. And there's a lot of other information on our website, but I know I've been going on. So until next time, this is your host, Chuck Minear, hoping that this episode has made you just a little bit smarter about tech.